The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
Okay, it is time for What to Watch. And we're joined in studio by entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo and Dee Reddy, podcaster and cultural commentator. Hey guys, you're both very welcome. Serena, what are you kicking off with?
Let's start with The Sheep Detectives. This is Hugh Jackman, Emma Thompson. They're also joined by cousin Greg from Succession, Nicholas Braun. They play, basically, Hugh Jackman is a shepherd, and he's looking after a whole heap of sheep. And one day he dies.
A heap of sheep.
But one day he dies.
I think flock is the word, isn't it?
I quite like heap. I'm
going to heap of sheep.
Okay. I'm there for it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the term we use in Australia. See the cultural differences there. Anyway, he dies. And it's under suspicious circumstances. The cop comes out to find out what's going on. He's a bit of a bumbling English cop. He's played by Nicholas Braun. And the sheep all of a sudden help him. They don't know the sheep can talk. The sheep are talking amongst themselves. And they're voiced by some great cast. There's Chris O'Dowd, Brett Goldstein, Patrick Stewart, Regina Hall, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Bryan Cranston, Bella Ramsey. So the cast is outstanding. So they help the bumbling cop.
Is this animated?
No.
Oh, even better.
So think, this is Babe sort of meets Charlotte's Web. You know, where you have that world of all the talking characters. So the adults don't know that they're talking and the people don't know that they're talking, but the
can the sheep understand the humans, even though the humans don't understand the sheep?
They can, and they all communicate with each other and stuff. This has been getting rave reviews. I brought a 9, 10 and 11-year-old. They were all boys. I brought them with me. They all absolutely loved it. The only complaint they had was that they wanted to see, and this isn't a spoiler because it happens early on. This is the whole plot of the film. They wanted to see more of Shepherd George, who's played by Hugh Jackman. But it's like, you can't see him because if you saw more of him, there wouldn't be a murder to solve. So, yeah. And they loved being able to solve the murder with the sheep. They loved that the sheep were really quirky. And I know, it's mad. And Emma Thompson was brilliant.
I don't have small children, but this appeals to me greatly. Does this work for adults?
A lot of adults said they really loved it. I don't know if I was having an off day. I just didn't connect with it. You know, sometimes you have to be in the mood for a film like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I usually am, and I usually love stuff like this, but I just, there was something that I just...
Did you think it was bad?
Maybe heaps of sheep just aren't your thing.
Yeah, the heaps of sheep.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't, I couldn't connect. I did love, like, the cast were outstanding and they were all having a great time. Emma Thompson, it doesn't matter what she does,
whatever she's
in, she's going to steal the show. And she does that in this. I thought, for me, this was more for the kids than it was for the adults, but I've had other adults going, what are you on? I thought this was amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because I kind of feel that that's something I would love on a Saturday afternoon, on a rainy Saturday afternoon or something. I feel that I might. Dee, what do you have for us?
So my first pick is actually, I think, possibly my favourite show that I've watched so far this year. It's called Widow's Bay. It's on Apple TV. So it came out last week and then with two episodes, and then the third episode came out yesterday, and then there's going to be episodes every Wednesday going forward. And genuinely, it's one of those things where at the end of the episode, I'm like, oh, nerds, I can't wait to see the next one. But I do suspect it's something that is best taken in small batches because it is comedy horror. And while it's utterly charming, I can see Serena's face, she hates horror. While it's utterly charming, it is properly chilling in parts.
Charming and horror don't readily marry up
in my
brain.
No, they don't, but it really, really works. So, like, imagine if Jaws was set in the village of Dibley from The Vicar of Dibley. And there's also ghosts.
Someone needs to do that.
Yeah, well, they have done, Ciara. And the mayor, so the mayor of the town, so also in Jaws, if the mayor was the good guy as well. So the mayor, he's the mayor, and he's played by Matthew Rhys, who is absolutely fantastic and was superb in The Beast in Me against Claire Danes last year. But this is a completely different role for him. He's very much the good guy, but he's this kind of, not cynical, but disbelieving mayor of this incredibly superstitious island town, and all the other islanders believe that this island is cursed to the point that if you leave the island, you will die in suspicious circumstances very soon after you go to the mainland. So most of the people have never actually left the island, and yet they're happy as Larry living where they live. And it's actually like the parts where he's having meetings with the other people in the town council, it's almost like Parks and Recreation. It's very, very funny. And it's,
so it's funny,
brilliant.
Charming, and is horror having a moment, as in there seems to be loads of it around, or was it always loads of it around and I just didn't notice because I don't watch it that
I think
much.
What we're seeing now is more horror TV shows, whereas there always would have been a lot more horror films. Like, I'm a huge horror fan, as you well know, Serena, and I particularly love the subgenre of comedy horror. But it's very rarely done in a way where the comedy isn't how ridiculous one of the kills is or how ridiculous the gore is. This is actually observational humour about humans alongside kind of ghost stories more than anything.
But it is chilly.
You'll
get
chilling.
The fear.
Oh, you'll get a little, oh God, what was that? And plenty of jump scares as well. I mean, my partner, who doesn't like horror at all, has been genuine. Well, he told me he's been genuinely enjoying this alongside
me.
Okay,
because this is what I'm thinking. I've wanted to really watch this just because of the way Dee has set it up and stuff. But if you are scared, is there enough of the other stuff going on? And can you cover your eyes and not watch the horror parts and still enjoy it?
So you're like me. I'm like
yeah.
me too.
So yeah. You absolutely can. So the lion's share of it is, let's say, the Vicar of Dibley element,
okay.
Right? It is much more of the observational humour and then threaded through. And each episode is almost like a ghost story in and of itself. He has to figure out or experience
because it has that kind of
story.
Gentle observational comedy Vicar of Dibley vibe. Does the horror nearly jar more because you nearly forget you're watching a horror because you're kind of charmed a little bit and then suddenly something awful happens and you're like, whoa!
So it's actually really well paced, I would say. There is always kind of eerie music letting you know that something scary
I'm
is
no good with
about
eerie
to happen.
Music.
But as like I used to do when I was a kid watching horror films, if you turned the volume down, Kerry, you'd be grand.
Or if
I promise.
You just didn't watch it at all, you'd be even
although I'm trying to get
but
braver.
You never come out of a jump scare into another scary thing. There's always something really sweet and funny that happens afterwards. So I think very well balanced.
Okay. Well, look, not much sweet and funny in Amanda Land, I imagine, Serena.
Oh, I love this. We've both
I love
seen
it, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did you watch Motherland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motherland was brilliant. So it was about basically what the subject was in the title,
yeah,
being a mother. But it's not that usual sweetsy thing. It was like all the
real stuff.
Oh, it's
quite the opposite.
Yeah, and it was hilarious. So when they said Amanda was someone who was really not a likable character.
Toxic, bitchy, competitive,
but
narcissistic.
Her story arc in Motherland was very much, she kind of got her comeuppance, but you saw the softer side of
they
her.
They humanised her.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
so,
Christmas special was awesome.
It was brilliant.
Fabulous.
And having Joanna Lumley play her mother
Perfect.
Is genius.
Yeah.
And then we had season one and it was only 6 episodes as well. And I was like, you know, maybe they should have left it there because it was so, so good. And they brought in Siobhan McSweeney, came into it. Irish Anne is still there and she is fabulous. Philippa Dunn, I think she's my favourite in it. And not because she's Irish.
And the running joke between Anne and Siobhan McSweeney's character is they're both kind of wrestling to be the chief Irish lady in the gang, and it works really, really well.
Yeah. So, like in this season, there's a hip coffee shop that's come into the area, and so Amanda's just like, oh, maybe this is my time to shine with her new. Is it a sensuous?
Sensuous
is her influencer line that she's bringing out, and she wants to be an influencer. So it's about that, but it's also about the surrounding cast and characters. And I think that's why it works.
I think so too. And like, I was unsure about it when it first came out because, do you know, I actually found Julia, the lead character in the first series, I found her a tougher anti-hero to root for than I do Amanda, the way Amanda's
actually,
portrayed in this.
Yes, Julia. Even though you do sympathise with her, I think, or empathise or whatever.
Or see a lot of yourself in her.
Yeah, but I didn't overly...
She's horrible.
I
didn't empathise or sympathise.
Yeah.
I just didn't like her.
She is quite selfish at heart. Like, and even
I just thought she was a very unpleasant person.
Amanda is looking after her mum.
I could relate to her.
Yeah. No, I related to bits of that. Oh, my God,
the
stress.
Is for that.
Yeah.
But I didn't really like her. I don't know if I'm revealing way too much, but we, this Amanda Land popped up on is it Netflix? Or whatever it's on.
Season one is all on Netflix. So this is on BBC One now.
On whatever it's streamer it was on, it just popped up as a recommendation. And I was sitting in the room with my 16-year-old and 19-year-old and my 16-year-old. And, oh, Amanda, that's actually quite good. And she really reminds me of you, Mum. And I was like...
hang on a minute.
And I was like, Jesus. I said, she's a thundering bitch, basically. And he goes, well, let me explain. And he was trying to explain, but the more he tried to explain,
he's losing.
But the more he explained, the more he went into fits of laughter. And then he was actually rolling around on the couch and couldn't explain. And he was like, you know the way, no, she's not really like you. She's kind of like an influencer. She's got like a big And then I was going, and all this. It was actually priceless. He nearly, I'd say, nearly wet himself.
She'd love to be you, is what he said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he said, do you know what a bizarro is? She's a bizarro you. I don't know. Anyway, I don't even know what that meant. Maybe I've revealed far too much, but I did make me laugh.
You should be watching season two together. The reason why I tell you this is the problem is it's on BBC One, and it's not a problem if you remember to watch it.
Yeah.
The problem is when you don't remember to watch
player.
It. So we don't have the player. So what I did last night, I literally just went straight to BBC One, go to Wednesday's 9 o'clock and series link it, because I didn't even watch it live last night. I watched it this morning. It was just like,
some of us can't tape BBC anymore.
Yeah, that's right. No. I'm the same.
If you have a streaming recorder, you can't tape BBC anymore.
Yeah, I will say I'm presuming series two is going to come to Netflix as well.
You're
because they're already pushing Motherland again down through my algorithm. So
I'm sure some people have VPNs and stuff.
But there is a mad thing you can do. You can actually watch it at the time it's on.
There was
a time when that's what we all did.
There was a time.
Okay. What else have you got?
Yeah, got.
So the other one actually is a movie that I watched last night. It is called Good Fortune. It's just come to Amazon Prime. It was first screened, I think, at TIFF last year. It's Aziz Ansari's directorial...
Sorry, TIFF is...
Toronto International Film Festival.
Thank you.
Silly me. It is Aziz Ansari's film directorial and writing debut. It's really, really fun. So you can get it on Amazon Prime as part of your subscription. But if you don't want Amazon or you don't have it, you can rent it in loads of other places. So I think it's on Now TV. It's definitely on Apple and others. So basically, it is... If you can imagine, it's like a mix of, Keanu Reeves plays this angel who's kind of messing up, and he gets involved between Seth Rogen, who plays this tech bro, and Aziz Ansari, who is this really down on his luck gig economy worker who ends up working as a personal assistant for
Seth Rogen.
This
sounds like It's a Beautiful Life meets Trading Places.
It is a little bit, yeah, meets Freaky Friday. And it's very, very funny. But within that funniness and coziness, because it uses all of these tropes from those kind of high concept movies from the kind of 90s and 2000s, within those tropes and within the kind of comedy of it all is actually biting satire. Like, there's one scene where Sandra Oh plays Keanu Reeves's angel boss, and she asks him why. So basically, he ends up switching these two guys, right? And that doesn't spoil it, but I won't go any further than that. But she asks him why, and Keanu Reeves says, "I tried to show him that money doesn't solve all of life's problems." And Sandra Oh goes, and he goes, "It seems to have solved a lot of his." And it's very, very funny because basically they need Aziz Ansari to go back to his life, but he doesn't want to.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Like,
considering what's happened. This actually sounds very good.
It's and really,
really
good.
Particularly, Shane, your take on it, I think, makes me want to watch it.
Yeah, I have to say, I really, really enjoyed the whole thing. I think it's nice to see a kind of mid-budget. It did get a brief cinema release, but it's nice to see these kind of mid-budget comedy films because there was a real dearth of them for a very, very long time. The performances are really strong.
Anything with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we all agree.
He's brilliant in this. And like, they've clearly cast him based on Nicolas Cage's character in City of Angels. Do you remember that with Meg Ryan back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a turkey wasn't it?
But they've clearly cast it kind of funnily with that in mind.
Okay, yeah.
And he's so straight-faced, and he ends up having to experience what being a human is. So there's a brilliant scene where he's trying to eat a burger for the first time. And he's like, how do I know when I'm finished chewing? And Seth Rogen's just eat the Burger Man. So it's very, very, very funny. And I think the casting and the writing is really sharp.
Okay, excellent. Serena, something else to finish?
Yeah, you talked about everyone loving Keanu Reeves. Mm. I have that same feeling for Sally Field, whatever she does.
Oh, yeah, fair.
I remember watching...
You like her? You really like her?
I love
her. You like me? You really like me?
Her Oscar speech. I do. And do you know,
I always know your references. I don't know. Yeah, we spent so much time together.
We spent a lot of time together.
She's like the Claire Danes of her generation. She's such a good crier. On demand.
She's just fabulous.
She's really likable.
Yeah. Well, see, in Australia, I watched her on reruns from when she was, she did Gidget. So she did Gidget, Flying Nun.
Yes.
And then she went in and did all these amazing films and stuff. And now she's back.
I actually really liked all the Smoking and the Bandits. I like she nonsense. She did that too, yeah. But like, I actually did.
And
Steel Magnolias.
Because I'm obviously highbrow, as we establish every week in this slot.
But she's back with Colm Meaney.
No way.
Yeah, the two of them together, and Lewis Pullman as well, and she plays a widow who works at a local aquarium, and she's trying to find joy, and she finds joy by connecting with this octopus of all things, who is voiced by Alfred Molina. So you get to hear what the
that's a plot twist I was not expecting.
No,
and you'd think it'd be really bad.
So
right?
What's it called, by the way?
It's called Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Okay,
it's only an hour 50 minutes, and I love hearing the octopus's observations of human interactions and how he helps this widow and this lost soul, this guy who's come in and is just searching.
Does he get his tentacles into everything?
Stop, Shane, stop.
What's wrong with you today? But he does. And it's just, do you know what? It's just charming, it's sweet, and it's just full of heart. Just like, and Sally Field just gives an incredible.
Not enough films like that.
How old is Sally Field now? What?
She's turning 80.
Never ask her. No, she is a Hollywood leading lady.
No, but what vintage is she?
80 this year.
Is she?
She's turning 80 this year.
Wow.
And like, as I said, she's been around since Gidget and the Flying Nun.
And Smokey and the Bandits, as Kira said.
Exactly. So she's been around since
the
60s.
I like Gidget too. Remember the Gidget.
She's just she's incredible. Mrs. Doubtfire, But she, as I said, Colm Meaney is in this too. And he is, like, the two of them together.
I absolutely love Colm Meaney.
Sally Field is on with John Fardy this weekend in Screen Time.
Oh.
For all of us Sally Field lovers, we should all be tuned into Screen Time.
And given that it's John Fardy, that's going to be an excellent conversation.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
Cannot wait.
Thank you so much to both of you for coming in to the wonderful Serena Bellissimo and Dee Reddy. We shall chat to you again next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman. This is News Talk.